And it is just like Jesus. See, that's what he does, because it's who he is. He always turns nighttime into morning. We learn of that. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And so we praise the Lord that he has the power and ability. That's just, it's his nature. It's what he does. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll be here just for a moment, then we're going to go to another passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we are studying what it means to love. We need to be paying attention to this. God is certainly bringing it to us full force, because we're getting it in DBS, we're getting it in the Sunday morning, and we're even getting it Sunday night. And so he knows what we need this year, and we need to get it, what his love is, and then how we live that love. And that is going to be so instrumental in our witness to a lost and dying world. I am very convinced that the world needs to see brothers and sisters absolutely loving each other if they're going to turn to the Lord. And it's getting tough. It's getting hard. I had somebody recently, just at the men's retreat, sharing with me about how much they had saturated a community with the gospel, and in a couple different efforts, and no response at all. And that's sad, but that's the world that we're living in today. And that doesn't mean that we don't try to saturate the gospel. But I think that our culture is looking for people that, number one, are real, but number two, actually care about them and aren't just doing it just for their own purposes and their own good. And so we've got to show people that we care about them. We genuinely care about what God is doing, what God wants to do in their lives, but what's going on in their lives. We've got to show them that we care about those things. And so love is very important. So in 1 Corinthians, we're learning about that love and how we can live that out. Remember, this is a picture of God. Nobody has a picture in front of them of what God looks like, because we know that God is spirit. And so there's no picture. I can't hold up a picture, a photo of what God looks like. Well, he gave us a little bit of a perspective in the creation. Can we see what God is like through looking at creation? Absolutely. We can look and we can see there's design, there's purpose, there's plan. And so we look at his creation. I'm grateful that we can look at creation to get a perspective of who God is. He gave us the individual of Jesus Christ, the purpose of Jesus Christ, so that we can see who the Father is. Of course, he was God. And so there was a picture of who the Father was. And of course, he's given to us his word to give us a picture of who he is. And one of the most practical ways in which God has given to the world a picture of who he is through our lives, living it out to the world. And as we live who God is, as we become his character, then the world gets to see him as an individual. And so our lives ought to be a display of the person of God. Question, how accurately are you depicting God? That is a very challenging question, but it's a question that we all need to consider. How is my life picturing God? What would God say to that? Now, there's a good picture of me right there in that man, or there's a good picture of me in that young person right there. There's a good picture of me in that lady in that church right there. There's a good picture of me. Would God the Father say that of you? Folks, a big part of that picture is how we're loving other people. And it doesn't matter about that person and what they do or they don't do, what you like and what they don't like, how good they are, how bad they are, but whether you're loving them or not. Those people that might be difficult for you to get along with, those people that are maybe rude to you out in the hallway, those people, whatever they do and how they do it, it doesn't matter that, but it matters how you respond. And that is a display right there of God. Is it accurate or not? And that's what we're trying. We're trying to learn how to be accurate in our display of God. Let's look at verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Is it important that we have love in our ministry at Faith Bible Church? What's the answer? Is it important? So important. If we don't have love, what do we have? Nothing, absolutely nothing. Keep letting that sink into your life. Because all of a sudden it makes what we do, wow, it's so important that I'm doing it with the right motivations and love. I'm doing it to look good, or I'm doing it for myself, or even doing it for that person. We've got to have love, the love of Christ inside of us. All right, we're to verse 5, and we're just about the end of it, but of course I'm prolonging it more and coming up with a part 2. You already thought it was going to be long. Now a preacher's got to come up with 2 parts to 1 point, but actually I didn't, God did. So I was planning on moving on, but God wasn't, and so we're looking at this in a little bit more practical and in-depth way this morning. Look at verse 5, doth not, talking about charity and love, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, and now again for the second time, is not easily provoked. Last week we were able to go to 1 Peter chapters 2 and 3, and the end of chapter 2, and look at an example of Jesus Christ who didn't sin. He didn't say, he didn't let anything come out of his mouth that shouldn't. He didn't revile. He didn't accuse or fight back. But rather, he gave it, he committed everything in his life over to the Lord. He said, God, this is yours. I don't have to take care of this. This is yours. I'm going to let you do it. And so he committed things to the Lord. This morning, I want to look on a little bit more of a practical side. Lord has been kind of beating me up on this one in the last 2 weeks. And so I was in here praying this early this week and just really praying through this, asking God to change my life and my heart in the matter. And as I went more and more and more, I was very convinced that God wanted me to share that with you this morning. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to start, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. So why don't you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. If you didn't know it, the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, there's an Oreo cookie. The kids are like, where? Hurry, turn there. No, it's not an Oreo cookie like you think. There's kind of a sandwich that's there on the top side of things. There's some instruction concerning a relationship between boss and worker. And of course, back in those days, there was master and slave. And we don't really have much of that in our lives, but we do have boss and worker, and so employee, employer. And so that kind of is the end of chapter 2. Well, not totally the end. We have the example. That's kind of the middle that's given there. So we have the master-slave relationship, and then we have the example that's given by Christ, and then the bottom half of that Oreo cookie is then the husband and wife relationship. Now, I'm telling you this morning that it can be more relationships than just husband and wife, master, slave, employee, employer, on either side of those. Honestly, it's any relationship that we have with anyone that fits into this. It could be church people. It could be neighbors. It could be just family members besides a husband and wife. And so I'm asking you to give yourself over to this and to help this. We're going to go through the passage. I don't even have regular points to this message. I don't have point 1, point 2, and point 3 in a poem and a, you know, and an illustration in between each one. We're just going to go through the passage, but I'm going to first give you a very practical example or illustration of something that could take place. Now, when I give you this example, I'm actually going to give you an example of a husband and wife and how they deal with something in life. And in no way, everybody please listen to this, in no way, when I say things, am I belittling the wife's thoughts or the husband's thoughts? In fact, what we want to do is see that it doesn't matter what, love is necessary either way. All right, we have a husband and wife, and the wife happens to take great pride in her flower garden right outside the front door. Just out the front door, there's a beautiful flower garden that she has there. And this wife loves to be very meticulous about this flower garden. She loves her beautiful flowers. Her husband has helped her with that, and she has a nice flower garden there right outside. She's very careful about it. This wife loves to go out there. You're not going to find weeds in this flower garden. You're not going to find stray leaves in this flower garden. It's a flower garden that she just keeps up, and all the time. It's always something that she is able to keep up. Now, let me take a time out. It might not be flower gardens for you. Just kind of imagine the situation, because there's something in your life that meshes with this, okay? For this lady, for this wife, it's her flower garden, and she loves it. Well, this morning, her husband is off of work, and he is outside, and they have a garden hose kind of on one of those. It's mounted on the side of the house there, and the wife is very particular about that hose that's out there also. She doesn't like this hose left out and strewn out, left until the next time. She doesn't like it. She likes it taken care of, because she likes the presentation of the front of her house there with this flower garden. Remember, no right or wrong to this person, okay? Don't be judging, men, don't be like, come on, that's ridiculous. No, just listen to the illustration, okay? Okay, so this lady really, she likes the presentation of this, and so they've talked multiple times about how she likes it. She likes it hung on that thing, nice even loops around that, because she likes the presentation there. Well, this morning, the husband is out, and he's doing some other yard work, and he is going to water her flowers this morning. And he's kind of excited, because she didn't ask him to do that. He's just going to water the flowers on his own. And he's out there, and he's working, and he notices that partway into his watering that there's a leak at the end of the hose, right where, he's got the spray nozzle on there, and it's leaking. It's getting all over him. And he knows there's a problem there, and he thinks that he can probably fix it. And so he's got that hose out, and he's got it strewn out all over, because he is watering that flower bed, trying to do his best out there. And so what he does is he doesn't turn the water off. It's spraying. He sets it down right there, and he goes out because he thinks he has all the parts in the garage to be able to fix this. He's got to get some pliers to take that thing off, because he put it on too tight. And there's just some things. So he's going to have to, it might be a rubber gasket inside there. He doesn't know, but he thinks that he's got whatever it takes to fix this situation. And so he sets that hose down. It's kind of spewing and spraying a little bit because it's broken. And he goes out into the garage. Now, as wives that are here, that husbands that go out to the garage, they think that they're going to come back out in 30 seconds with everything, and they come back out 2 hours later, because that's just the way projects in the garage work. I know that that's the way it is, because I tell my wife 100 times, how long do you think it will take you to do that? Oh, that will take no time flat, because I've got the parts, I know how to do it. And 2 hours into it, I say, I can fix it today. I'm going to have to go to the store and get other, maybe just a new hose. But that's the way things work with me anyway. And so this wonderful husband is going to go out to the garage, and he's going to fix that thing in no time. He's going to be right back watering, no water spraying everywhere except for where it's supposed to go. He goes out into the garage, and wouldn't you know, as soon as he goes into the garage, who comes out? Mrs. So-and-so comes out, and she's thinking, I've got friend Mary coming over in 15 minutes, and how dare she see this horrible looking mess that's out here, garden hose all over the place, and some of the mulch got pulled onto the walkway here, and this hose, and it's spraying water everywhere. And she's thinking, what in the world? And he's out there in the garage, and he finds that gasket, and he gets the pliers and everything like that, and he's thinking, I can't, Mary's coming over, I'm going to have this thing fixed, I'm going to have the hose put back just the way she likes it, and everything is going to be good. And he comes out of the garage with a smile, and there she's looking at him. And she's thinking, You know that I don't like this looking like that. You know that Mary's coming over. I told you this morning that Mary's coming over at 9:30, and it's 9:18, and she's going to be here any minute. And how dare Mary come here and see our front flower bed looking like this? I can't have it. Now I know there are some of you out here that are thinking, you know, like The thing is right away inside husband's heart, he starts thinking, I was doing something good for her. And I don't even understand why she takes care of this flower bed anything, you know, like that anyway. It's just a flower bed. And who cares if a leaf gets in there? And look, I was doing something good this morning in trying to get this flower bed watered. I'm trying to fix it and be a good husband. I'm doing my best. And here she is, and she's upset at me. Now, I want us to think through this illustration while we go through 1 Peter chapter 2 and 3. Because, my friends, I want to tell you something. Things like this happen all the time. Not just husbands and wives. It happens in churches just like this. Projects, things that are going on, getting ready for things, things that you expect, things that you like, things that you want, and somebody else maybe trying to do right. Maybe not always keeping in mind. You know, we could ask a lot of questions. You know, should have the wife had those thoughts? Should have the husband had his thoughts? Should he, and this is going to sound absurd to you, but, you know, should he have wrapped up the hose when he went inside? Should he have turned it off when he went to go fix it? Now, some of you are making judgment calls already. No, that would be ridiculous. Or yes, he should have done that because, well, if he loves her, he... Hold on your judgments just a little bit, and let's look at what God gives to us in 1 Peter. So you're in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want to go through this, and I want to kind of come back and forth with the story. Now, it's not a flower garden maybe for you. It's probably not a hose. It could be the way that your wife prepares a meal. It could be the way your husband puts the dishes away or doesn't. It could be the way your children don't clean up after themselves. It could be the way your coworker always leaves in the shift before you, your station a mess. It could be anything. Church, workplace, home, and any other thing that you can think of, but relationships that you have. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go ahead and start here. And let's go ahead and go to verse 18. Now remember, this is master-slave situation, boss, worker, servants. Okay, so that'd be the worker. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You know, the first thing that's mentioned here is subjection. He says, be subject. You know, why don't you be subject? Ephesians chapter tells us that we ought to be to submit yourselves one to another. Do you know that it is not just a responsibility to submit to that leader? We are supposed to submit to all other people. I'm supposed to take a back seat in everything that I do. I'm supposed to submit. I'm supposed to be thinking of them more than I think of myself. That's what God has told us to do. Here we see that this servant is supposed to submit. He's supposed to put himself in place. It's a military word, putting yourself in military ranking. We know that the private is at the end of the road. Well, then that private should go there. We know that this other person ought to put himself where he belongs. And so we recognize leadership, but God tells us we as God's people are all kind of in the same boat, and we're supposed to submit ourselves one to another. That means when we're in a situation like maybe that I said, or in other situations that you maybe are in your life, we first of all need to make sure that we submit and we're in subjection, that it's not us that's most important. It's not me and how I like my desk that's most important. It's not me and how I like to fix a hose that's most important. And it's not me and how I like to keep my flower bed that is most important. You see, this message is for everyone. It doesn't matter what side of the boat you're on. We've got to first submit. We've got to submit to that other person. We've got to say, you know, it is not about me. It is about them. Notice, though, he says, even to the good and the bad. He says, in verse 18, he says, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You know, that husband is over here. He was excited to help out, and all of a sudden, she's there and upset. And what's going through his mind? Now, again, we've got to be careful in this illustration, in this message, to judge who is the good and gentle and who's the froward. But guess what? It has nothing to do with your thoughts and judging who that is. You need to understand that in the outset of this as we go through. We are not making any judgments on the other side. This is about how you respond. We're not going to make any calls here whether that wife was right or wrong. That's not the point, whether she should have or should not have done that. But what we're looking at today is how we are responding to that. You know, that husband could have looked at that and say, there's the froward right there. Look what I was trying to do. Now that's bad. God says that it doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter. You know, if wife would have come out, you know, with a cupcake for him with a big old smile, you know, thank you so much for doing my work. You know, Mary's coming in 15 minutes, and I know you're going to have it done. You know, maybe that would be her tactic, you know. But it doesn't matter how she comes out. God says that we're supposed to respect. God says that we're supposed to submit. It doesn't matter who. Understand something. When you're going through situations at work or in the home or at play or whatever you do, it doesn't matter what they're doing. What matters is what you do. God starts off by saying, you know, you make sure to be under subjection. Make sure that you respect them. Make sure that it's to all. It doesn't matter who. You know, there's some of you husbands that are out there. It's like, yep, that was my wife. Listen, you need to stop that and think just for a moment. Yeah, but what are you doing with it? Because I'm going to tell you, this passage is going to be tough for you. Some of you wives are thinking, yeah, my husband does that all the time. Leaves everything out. Does, you know, is there respect? And it doesn't matter what they do. You've got a response before God that is going to dictate whether you are easily provoked. Something that gets under your skin like a hose. Or a response. We go on. Now he says in verse 19, for this is thankworthy. He says, let me tell you what I really care about. You know, God here in this passage is saying, you know, there's a lot of good things that you could do and not do. There's a lot of things, but let me tell you what's really my favorite. You know, I could take a poll of all of you and say, what's your favorite pie? Now, I don't know many pies that I would say no to. I mean, just like I'd rather not, unless I'm trying to lose weight or something like that. But if that's not the matter, you know, and I don't care about ingredients, I don't care about anything, you know what, honestly, for me, I'll take any pie. I don't hardly know many pies that I would just say no to. That's horrible. I'm sure there's some out there, but I don't know of any. But you know what? Everybody, there would some that if you made, you know, if you made me a, got to be careful here because somebody, if you probably made me a pie somewhere along the line, I'm going to pick the kind that, okay, let's say, I'm just going to say a no-name pie, okay? Okay, let's say I get a certain kind of pie, okay? I'm just, for sake of illustration, I'm going to make it up. I like apple pie. But let's just say apple pie, I'll take it, I'll eat it, but it's not my favorite. Okay. My opinion when I get that apple pie, wow, that's good. But when I get a lemon meringue pie, that's like this. You know, that's apple pie, I'll eat it gladly. But a lemon meringue pie, that's really that speaks to me, okay? What God is saying here is he's like, you know what, there's some good things here. But you know, there's something that really speaks to me. And he's about to share it. He says, for this is thankworthy. He said, you know, there's things that are expected. You know, there's food. We can eat this, we can eat that. But there's some things that are really special. What is it? He said, this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience towards God, in other words, he's motivated because of God. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongly. And he says, so this person endures grief and you've suffered wrongly. In other words, you went through something that you didn't deserve. Now that's the context here. You went through something you didn't deserve. And the husband is over here saying, yeah, I'm going through something that I don't deserve. And the wife might be over here saying, I'm going through something that I don't deserve. When we go through something that we don't deserve, what's the point if we do deserve it? If you take that, he says in the next verse here, he says, if you take that, verse 20, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults? Now, are you at fault here? Yes, he said, your faults. You did something wrong. Okay? If you get in trouble for something you did wrong and you take it, there's no glory. You know that God expects us to take our punishments when we've done wrong? There's no glory at all when we just take it because we've done wrong. That's not what he's dealing here with. He's dealing with this. You have not done wrong. You did right. You were trying to be a good husband. You were trying to be a good, you know, keeper of your home. You were trying to do something good, and you're in trouble for it. He said, this is what's thankworthy to me if you take that patiently. No glory if you deserved it. But when you take it the right way, and you don't respond back, you don't lash back, you don't get frustrated, you don't get bothered, and you take it patiently, there's glory. That's what's exciting to me. That's what I love it when a believer, I love it when a Christian, they get in trouble for something they never did. And they take it patiently. That's what I love. That's what I get excited about. He says in verse 20, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. He said, this is acceptable with God. Back into our story here. From the husband's perspective, the husband's trying to do a good thing here. You know, and we could argue, should he have wound up the hose when he went in? That's not the point. He didn't. He went into the garage. He was going to fix it. And he's trying to fix it before Mary shows up. And he goes out there. When his wife responded to him and she was frustrated with him, what should his response have been? The response, everybody listen to this, because this is the practical of this. The tendency is to be easily provoked. That's not right. Don't you understand what I'm trying to do here? But that's getting provoked. What pleases God is when you walk out and your wife says that and the first response is, honey, I'm so sorry. I should have been thinking more to that. And I know some of your husbands are thinking that's ridiculous. Can I tell you? God says, this is well-pleasing to me. Men and women, I'm going to tell you something. This is the kind of response that God wants us to have, and this is love. You say, but she doesn't deserve that. That's exactly what the passage is saying. Oh, I'm sorry, sweetheart. You know what? I know you.
here, let me get that thing wrapped up really quick because Mary might come. You know, I can work at it. I can work at it kneeling down right here, and I'll fix that thing. And if she pops up, I'll disappear. Now, I know we're making up some things here, and I'm probably embellishing this a little bit. But this is the principle. The principle here is you put yourself down. And you might say, this is a little bit ridiculous. And God says, yeah, I want you to be a little bit ridiculous. If you love, you're going to do that. You know what? I'm going to do my best here. Now, I'm not telling all you guys to go home and never let the loops out of that hose. It's just got to stay there, okay? I got to buy a second one because we can't touch that one. And so this is just illustration here. This is just illustration to understand. You know what? The rightful response of that husband when he comes out there is when she's like, and to immediately say, listen, sweetheart, I'm so sorry for that. I know, I appreciate, now again, I'm embellishing this, but I appreciate that you like to have a flower garden like that. I'm so thankful that you like to keep the front of this house so nice. I was out here trying to do that, but you know what? I know that you care about, you know, that what this looks like. Mary's coming. Let me quickly, I'm so sorry, let me get that thing taken care of. And it's that kind of mentality. And again, I'm kind of taking it and multiplying it and making it really big. But the idea is I need to do what I can for your sake. Let's look at the wife's situation before. You know, she's out there, and she goes out there, and she sees this, and she's a little bit offended. She's like, I'm struggling with this. And listen, probably I messed up the illustration a little bit because I kind of made this look really bad. You know, like, who would ever think, you know, she shouldn't think that. But again, Mary's coming, and maybe they had a conversation before, you know, if you're going to fix it, you know, can we wait till afterwards or something like that. Maybe there was an offense that way. But when she comes out there and she sees this, right away her thoughts are like, and what should have her thoughts been? Husband, thank you so much for, I'm always thankful that you care about my things. You know what, you care about fixing that hose, and I'm so grateful that you're a worker, and I'm thankful that you take the time to do what you do. And you know what, it's absolutely fine. You know what, we still got, you know, 12 minutes here before Mary shows up, and it should be fine. Here, let me help you. What do you need? You know, husband's like, stay away. But there's this mentality that's, did you see the difference between the two? You see, in any case, and this is mostly the situation, in any case, this person over here has reasons why they think this is not fair. And do you know, in the same story, this person is thinking the exact same thing. And we can hash it out of who has better right to this, and what's the answer? Neither of them. You say, Pastor, we're painting a pretend picture here. No, we're painting a biblical picture here. God says the husband is supposed to do whatever he can to take a back seat and say, listen, wife, I love you, and I'm going to do whatever I can to help meet those needs. And the wives are going, yeah, great. No, wife, and you need to do everything you can to reverence that husband and tell him how thankful you are that he's willing to do it, and maybe even swallow your pride over that very thing. I am more thankful that I have a husband that's willing to fix that hose than I am about what my flower bed looks like. And I am more thankful that I have the opportunity to show my wife that I love her than I am about even being told that I did something wrong. I don't care because I get to show her I love her. Guys, that's the mentality. Ladies, that's the mentality that God wants us to have. Now, in this situation, in chapter 2 here, it's not the husband and wife situation. It is a worker and boss situation. They both apply. They both apply. God is very thankful when we respond that way in that situation. Work, neighbors, home. Question, how are you picturing God? Put it back into perspective. How are you picturing God before your husband? How are you picturing God before your wife? How are you picturing God before Mary when she shows up? And you two are you know, hashing it out. And Mary looks and says, "Ooh, I better go back home today." How are we picturing God? And the neighbors that are looking at what's going on over there. Makes an impact. Okay, then God gives the example of Jesus Christ too. And we see just like I said a minute ago, we kind of come up, come on, Pastor, a man's really supposed to respond like that? Come on, a lady's really supposed to respond like that? But we looked at the example from last week, didn't we? Doesn't that seem to mesh with Christ's example? I mean, he was being reviled. I mean, it wasn't fair. And yet, look what he's doing. He's sitting there dying on the cross, sacrificing himself for his bride. There's the middle. Now let's go to the other side, because there's some more things that we can learn in chapter 3. Now he changes into the husband and wife situation. And in this case, there's a kind of a good and a bad. In this case, the wife is pictured as good and the husband is bad. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, really quickly, what is that talking about? I believe that it could be one of two things. Either way, there's a spouse here. And again, it's just listed as wives and husbands, and that doesn't mean because that's always the way it is. It's not. It's just the way that was pictured here. But we've got a husband that is not obeying the word here. And that is probably a picture that he's not saved, but it could be a husband that is saved that is not living for the Lord or something. But it's, again, could be husband or wife. It doesn't matter the situation. It's kind of meant to picture maybe what was looked at as the, you know, the good boss or the bad boss that's even judging you rightly or wrongly. Okay, same kind of a situation here. You know, maybe this spouse is not handling situations right and you're struggling with that. But the point is not to look at the husband here at all. It's not to look at the wrong one. It's to look at what are you doing about it. This message has nothing to do with whether or not that other one is doing what they're supposed to do, because love has nothing to do with the other person and what they're supposed to be doing. Love has everything to do with what are you doing in light of all of that, in the presence of all of this. Notice what it's saying. Some of the same things. Subjection is listed here. You know, be quiet. Notice that they may without the word be won. You know what that means? That means that this wife is not sitting there preaching at her husband all the time about what he ought to do and how you ought to put that away and how you ought to know what I like and how you ought to love me. And the Bible says you ought to love and... No. That's not what the wife is supposed to do. Wives and husbands, either way, whether it's, it doesn't matter what side it is, that is not what God wants you to do. He says, without the word. That means it's not your job to sit there and do that. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. Do you know that God, through the Holy God and the Holy Spirit, is absolutely good and capable of taking care of your spouse? You know that God is absolutely capable of taking care of your coworker. He's absolutely capable of taking care of your neighbor. Absolutely He is. And just like we learned last week, commit it to the Lord. It is not your job as a husband to tell your wife that she, you know, what are you thinking? I'm out here. That is not your job. Wife, it is not your job to tell your husband how horrible he's doing because he's exposing, you know, just making your flower bed wrong. It is not your job. God says, without the word. And what's the result of this wife without the word? That he would be won. God has an amazing way of doing his work his own way. While, verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Wow, we see this reaction that is so, you know, this, how can this wife, you know, when her husband is doing wrong, how can she just continue, have a sweet spirit and do right? How can she do that? Only by the Holy Spirit of God that helps and works inside of you. By the way, the only way to do this the right way, because I want to tell you, as a husband, sometimes I think, how could I respond that way when I was trying to do something right and I get this? The only way is to be abiding and walking in the Spirit. You're not walking in the Spirit, and you're going to go right back, and she's going to go right back, and you're going to end up in that mess.
But by the Holy Spirit of God, you can, and men and women, listen to this, you absolutely can look at her with a smile and say, "Man, sweetheart, I'm so sorry." You say, "I could never do that. That's just wrong." When you say that, you're choosing not to love. You're choosing not to love. "I will not do that." But love is humble, and love says, "Listen, I'm so sorry. Listen, there have been men in my life that I've seen. I have seen wives, you know, say certain things, and I'm thinking, how in the world do they survive?" And you know how they survive? Because they're men walking in the Spirit. They're men walking in the Spirit. How does that wife survive? Because they're wives that are walking in the Spirit. My friend, I want to tell you, you can do it. You walk in the Spirit. But I'll tell you what, you're not going to decide to walk in the Spirit when she's out there like this. You're going to have to be walking in the Spirit that morning in your devotions. And when it happens and she's up, it's going to be a natural response to say, "Listen, I'm sorry about that. I'll take care of it." And you go take care of it. And I want to tell you something. It's going to be hard for that wife to keep her arms up when you're acting that way. Well, that's not the point. That's not the reason why you do it. But we do right. And God says that He's going to work and He's going to win that other one over. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. He goes on and verse 4 or verse 3, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning or the plaiting of the hair or wearing of gold or the putting on or of apparel." And He's not against any of those things. He said, "Listen, the point is not some glamour that you're going to put on that's going to win. You know, you win by just doing right." His answer here is, you win by loving. You just love. You do what's right. You love, and I'll take care of the rest. That's the example that we saw in Christ, committing it over to the Father. You commit it over to the Father. God will take care. You know, husbands, if your wife responds wrongly, God will take care of that response. You don't need to deal with it. Wives, you don't have to worry about what your husband did or didn't do. God can take care of him. You don't need to say anything about him. You can still be sweet. You can thank him. Some of you say, you know, If I be sweet to him, tell him, he'll do it again. If I tell him how thankful that I am for what he's doing, he'll make a mess the next time. He won't think it's a big deal. My friend, I want to tell you, that's twisted thinking. God blesses when you do it his way. Husbands, you can be over here thinking, you know, if I give in and I say, "Oh, sweetheart, I'll do that," then she's going to think that's absolutely okay, and she's going to continue to have me under her thumb and doing this ridiculous work around this place. That is a lie of the devil. God is saying, "Listen, you do right, I will take care of them," and God can teach that other one. He can teach that coworker. He can teach that child. He can teach that spouse. He can teach that other church member that you struggle with. He can teach them, and we need to commit that over to God. You start to fight back. You start to say certain things. All you're going to do is cause more and more contention. More and more struggle. It doesn't work because it's not God's way. Question is, are you easily provoked? In either case here, it's easily provoked. No, not being easily provoked is because any person's probably going to struggle with that first response. When you're trying to do something right, your initial response is going to be a fight back. But when we let the Holy Spirit of God work and we decide to show love, that's God working. God's going to use that. And God's going to be honored and glorified. He is going to be well pleased. He said, "You know, you just gave me pretty much the best gift you could give me." Just like that favorite pie. Like that. You know what? I'm proud of you, sir. I'm so proud of you because, you know what? That might have been the right thing, but I'm so proud of you because you were the right husband and you showed love that day. Wife, you know what? He maybe shouldn't have, whatever he shouldn't have done, but you were so, you went, you reverenced your husband and you appreciated what he did. You know what? You leave him up to me. I'll show him. I can do that. But boy, what you did, ma'am, I'm proud of you. I'm not making God look like us, but he's like, "I'm proud of that. I'm absolutely proud of that." Any relationship that you're going through in life, this is what God
is expecting. This is what it means, practically, in our lives, not being easily hooked. Nope. God help me. Because there might be some things that my wife, you know, she doesn't even understand. I'm trying to do that. But Lord, you help me. When maybe she's wrong, maybe she's right. Maybe I just need to say, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. You know, maybe I took a chance and say, oh, I can run down to Hostetter's and she'll never know. You know, maybe I did wrong, you know, in it. And I need to take that patiently. But whether or not we did right or wrong, whatever the response is, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do right. What if the wife would have come out and have been right? Oh, husband, you know, thank you so much for what you do. And Mary's driving up the lane. I'm so sorry, sweetheart. I know that you wanted this cleaned up here. Let me do it really fast. I'm sorry. Listen, it's my fault. I'm so sorry that I did that. And I know some of you are thinking that's ridiculous. No, it's not ridiculous. That's exactly what God is saying. This is thankworthy. This is what glorifies me. This is love that doesn't get easily provoked. So my question as we close is this. What's your picture of God to the world? To your husband, to your wife, to your coworker, to your children, to your neighbor. What's the picture? Is it a loving God that was hanging on the cross that says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? See, that answer is this illustration here that sounds ridiculous. You get it? It's ridiculous. But it's what Jesus did for you. And it's what's expected. If we're going to give a clear picture of God, then it should be a ridiculous response. I'm so sorry. I should do this for you. And don't worry about it. And by the way, this mentality doesn't walk away back into the garage. That woman, I can't. But it's okay, sweetheart. No. It's going into the garage saying, God, thank you so much that I have a wife that wants to keep our place picked up. That's what it is. And it's this wife that is not walking back into the house, you know, griping and complaining about her husband that always do, you know, that doesn't keep track of time and he should have, no, God, thank you so much that I have a husband that cares enough to fix things around this place and to try to help me do what I need to do. That's love. God, would you please help us? God, would you help us to be people that don't get easily provoked, that when we are provoked upon, when somebody does something that is not right, it's not deserved, God, would you help us? Give us a strength. We're so weak in this. I'm so weak in this. So many times I feel like that wasn't right. That wasn't fair. I shouldn't have, you know, that person shouldn't have blamed me for this or whatever. God, would you help us to do right? God, would you help us to do right? And may we display, put on display a loving God that the world would say, wow, wow. God, help us. Help us. Help us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I don't know about